You're listening to Your Financial Choices on WDIY Allentown. Your Financial Choices may discuss various financial-related topics, and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. Lori Siebert is employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA, SIPC. To ensure compliance with requirements imposed by the IRS, we inform you that any U.S. federal tax advice contained in this communication is not intended to or to be used for the purpose of avoiding penalties under the Internal Revenue Code or promoting, marketing, or recommending to another party any transaction or matter addressed herein. This show is for educational purposes only. For advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert, CPA, CFP, and AEP, on the web at yourfinancialchoices.com. And you can listen online at wdiy.org. That's wdiy.org. Welcome to the show. Today's October 30th, 2013. The markets were down today. The Dow closing at 15,618, the NASDAQ at 3930, and the S&P at 1763. What are we talking about tonight? Life care planning. What it is, what are the components, and how to get started. Last week, we discussed bond investing with Russ Wild and Kevin Brogius, both financial advisors. We learned a lot. I really enjoyed having them on the show and thank them for coming on. The podcast is available on the WDIY's website. I believe it's probably available now. Prior shows are available at wdiy.org. And you could search for the program, Your Financial Choices. We are live. We are here to take your questions. I believe Judy Ann, I'm not sure if she's here this evening. You know what I just realized, Jeff? Judy Ann might not be here tonight. This might be the night we were supposed to have someone do. She is here? Okay, great, Judy Ann. Thank you. Sorry. We have someone taking the calls. Okay. So we have someone answering your calls this evening. We will take down your information and ask you to mute your radio so you can hear me without the delay and we could talk without confusion. We discuss general financial planning topics and not specific investments. And while I typically have a topic each week, you can still ask questions off topic and I'll do my best to answer them. The number this evening is 610-758-8810, 610-758-8810. Email is also available for response at a later time at yourfinancialchoices.com. So this is going to be a great show. I have a great guest with me this evening, and I know that because I've already had lunch with him, and he's full of valuable information and a great teacher, I would say, as well. But he's an attorney. So I have attorney Jim Ruggiero, AEP. He founded Ruggiero. Am I saying that right, Jim?
You are.
Ruggiero?
It's Ruggiero, yes.
Ruggiero. More of a J.
Ruggiero. More of a J.
Okay. Ruggiero. Law offices in 1990 to offer personalized guidance to residents in Philadelphia and Lily High Valley area to protect their life's work and utilize resources available to remain independent and enjoy the golden years. Having grown up in a home where three generations resided together, he carries a special understanding of the importance of estate planning and the balance of handling the elderly client and those with special needs with respect and sensitivity. Additionally, Jim understands the needs and passions of business owners. He advises business owners on growth strategies and the importance of estate planning since the business usually constitutes a large portion of estate assets. His practice areas are estate planning, estate administration, elder law, business law, and real estate. So welcome to the show, Jim.
Thanks, Lori. Happy to be here tonight and with your audience.
Oh, thank you very much. So tell us a little bit more. I gave a little background there, but can you tell us a little bit more that we might not have heard in my intro there?
I'd like the audience to know that I started my business on my own in 1990. And I am an attorney, but I am a small business owner here in America, and that means a lot to me. So I have lots of experience with the law, but also with just being a business person in America today.
That's a good perspective to put on that, because I don't often hear actually attorneys giving that perspective. So it's not just that you are an attorney, that small business owner, but you also have some real life experiences as well with this multi-generation planning.
And if I could tell the audience a little bit about that part of my background, I was a caregiver before I ever became an attorney that works in the elder law arena. When we were growing up, I had an extended family that consisted of my immediate family, mom, dad, brother, sister, and then my grandparents lived up the block. Mm-hmm. And so every day I got to come home after school to my grandmother, and it was an idyllic childhood, it truly was. And as they got older, we ended up moving into my grandparents' house and taking care of them as they aged in place. This was the 70s, and there was not the availability of independent assisted living facilities that exist today. My mom was the only daughter. 75% of all caregivers are female. So we moved into my grandparents' house, put a hospital bed in the dining room, fitted out a bathroom in the first floor, and they stayed in place and lived into their late 80s and early 90s. But we did a lot of caregiving during the last few years.
So you had a lot of great opportunities to spend time with them, but also to learn about that caregiving as well and the consequences and strategies around having to do that.
One of the things that my clients always tell me is they want to stay in their house as long as possible. In today's world, it's not as simple as perhaps it was earlier. We were able to take care of my grandparents because we had enough of our family living in the house that we were able to cover them 24/7. The availability of care today is much broader than it was back then. So that is a great experience because we got the wisdom of our grandparents growing up as their grandchildren. And my grandfather owned his own real estate business for over 50 years, went to work well into his 80s. And I think that's why I own my own business today, and it just happens to be my law firm.
Very good. So we are going to talk about life care planning. And life care planning is a little bit of a different spin on what sometimes I think people might think of it, elder care planning. So tell me why you call it life care planning.
Well, your traditional elder law attorney has vast experience giving his or her clients the right advice about their estate planning documents and about the availability of different living arrangements out there. But life care planning is a holistic team approach to taking care of a client's needs. As an elder law attorney, I can help with their documents and put them in place to make sure that we're covering the legal side. But it truly requires a multidisciplined approach to do life care planning. When we talk about the continuum of care, we want our clients to not just benefit from our expertise because we're just one part of the puzzle. We're a piece of the solution, but there's more than just the lawyer that needs to be involved so that we can have our clients benefit from the team approach. We look to have appropriate care for them, make sure that there's public and private sources available to pay for the care, and make sure, number one, that there's peace of mind, that your loved one is safe when you're done planning. Just doing an update of an estate planning doc doesn't make sure you're prepared for what happens when you have to move into a new home.
And that team approach as well brings in all that extra expertise that someone might have or new strategies or ideas to use. For example, if there was some concern about, you know, the future expense and maybe a family member comes in and says, maybe I could have them in my home for a while, or a planner says, oh, but they have these investments here, we could do this strategy. So bringing in the team approach, the family, maybe the accountant, financial advisor, the attorney, maybe even an insurance person, and the pieces of the family, is that, and even the caregivers, the whole team.
When we're talking about the whole team, mm-hmm. we're talking about having legal and financial experts involved. We're talking about medical experts. We're talking about care management experts and life transition management folks being available, because you really need an expert response team in all of those areas. And they all cross over. When someone has to move from their house, even though they've thought they were going to be there for the rest of their life, part of that is a medical decision. If they're unable to continue to live at home and they need to move into an independent facility, that's part of the analysis, the medical piece. But then there's the financial analysis. Can they afford where they're going? How long can I do that? What is the best source of funds to help pay for that? That's where their financial planner is a critical piece of the solution. Knowing what is available with regards to your pension, your income, your assets, and planning to use them in the right way.
Okay. I want to mention, you know, my mother, God bless her, six kids in the family. My mother always says, I'm never going into a home. And we tease her because we all love our mother so much. And we live all across the country. And we all laugh and we say we're going to fight over who gets to keep her. But, you know, the realities of that is as much as we want to keep our parents, sometimes there's just physical incapabilities of doing that. Whether it's if a parent can't move around and do their own daily activities, can you as the adult child handle that? Maybe you can't. So we're going to talk about some of these issues, some of these steps, where the caregivers come together with the financial advisors and attorneys, and to help make this all happen with this holistic team approach of life care planning. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about how we start with this. Back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
American folk and traditional music is a crazy quilt of colors and textures. In the tradition traces its many patterns and designs. Music handed down from generation to generation. In the tradition, Wednesday evening at 7 on WDIY FM Lehigh Valley Community Public Radio.
And welcome back. Thank you for staying tuned. The phone number this evening, folks, is 610-758-8810. I have with me this evening on Your Financial Choices, Jim Ruggiero. He is an attorney with Ruggiero Law Offices, established in 1990, providing guidance to residents in Philadelphia and the Lehigh Valley area. And we are talking about life care planning, what that means, and Jim had mentioned, I said, what's the difference between that and elder care planning? It's this holistic team approach. It's not just about seeing an attorney to implement some documents. There's much more to that. Jim just gave us an overview talking about, you know, making decisions about if someone needs to go into a facility, when does that happen, who's part of that team, financial, attorney, healthcare givers. So we're going to go over a big picture of that, talking about what the elder care continuum is, which Jim had mentioned earlier. And one of the thoughts I had, Jim, was, you know, when do we start this kind of planning? If people have questions about this topic this evening, Jim and I are talking, but you are free to call and give us a question, 610-758-8810. Questions can be live or off air, wherever you're more comfortable, whatever you're more comfortable with. You can give your question to our call screener, and they can bring the question into us. If you want to be off air, if you want to talk on air, just let them know you want to ask a question live, and we'll take that as well. So, Jim, what is this elder care continuum, or where do people start? Whatever you want to start with first.
I'm going to pick where do we start first, Lori, because when I talk about planning, I say it's never too soon to begin planning. One out of four families is a caregiver family in America today. So we know that 25% of America's families are already involved in this continuum, whether they realize it or not. Mm-hmm. The sandwich generation has to take care of their elderly parents and deal with their children as well. So this life care planning also applies to adult children with special needs as well. So 18 for adult children with special needs is where we would start. A typical couple should be looking to talk about life care planning once they are retired, once they're over 65, because that's when we start to see the transitions occur. So when people ask what is life care planning and what is this elder care continuum, we have to look at someone's functional abilities. Are they able to live independently? Do they need some assistance around the house? do they need to live in an independent living facility or an assisted living facility based on a decreased ability to function in just being mobile and being able to take care of the activities of daily life. And then when the functionality really declines, the last stop is that skilled nursing facility. No one ever wants to go there, but we know if someone goes to the hospital, has a broken hip, has a slip and fall, they're either going to be able to go home after rehab or go into independent assisted or sometimes skilled. And all this takes place over 7 to 10 years from that initial visit. And it can happen when you're 65. It can happen with you when you're 95. Mm-hmm. This is a true story. My 95-year-old great aunt Helen broke her hip last Tuesday, taking the dog out at 3:30 in the morning. The good news is she is in very good shape. So after 2 weeks of rehab, she's going to go back home. But she's going to need care at home to help her while she gets through her rehab, because she's going to have to walk with a walker as part of her recovery. So this is a typical instance where we first see some limitations that someone deals with. For other families that have loved ones that start to have memory impairment and disorders, they are no longer able to live independently at home because of some of these disorders, then they start to need assisted living, and then they may need a higher standard of memory care. So these are all functional impairments that grow over time. So we know once it starts, unfortunately, it's going to end with someone passing away. But during this whole process, they could just live and die at home, which is the goal. Mm-hmm. But there are other spots where one ends up in that piece of the continuum. And so part of the planning is identifying, where do I want to be housing-wise? I always want to be in my home. So am I going to make arrangements to bring people into the house for as long as possible? And how am I going to pay for that? So when we talk about the costs, mm-hmm. we know how much it costs to live at home. You're used to that. We know that you can sustain the cost of having additional caregivers come at home for 20 hours a week. We know you're going to dramatically double your living expenses if you have to move into an assisted living facility. And at the far end of the right side of this chart is $10,000 a month to go into skilled nursing facilities here in Pennsylvania in the eastern part. So we watch families get drained of all their resources. So life care planning talks about these issues, and we do the planning to make sure that a family's resources are not devastated because they failed to deal with all of these pieces of the puzzle.
Now, you mentioned at the beginning of this dialogue about the elder care continuum, you had said life care planning could also include special needs adults.
Yes.
So even starting at 18, we have parents who have maybe been the caregivers for their special needs child for years, and why they need to come in for planning is they're not going to be there forever either, right?
This is a very important subject. I have a 54-year-old cousin with Down syndrome. I've had a cousin who spent his adult life in a wheelchair, so my family has members, like others, that have special needs. And you need to look at what resources are available. What are your goals? When we talk about planning, we're talking about planning for these adult children's futures. Futures with you in their lives. Futures when you're gone. Because we're all mortal. Mm-hmm. So we have a responsibility as parents and grandparents to take care of doing this planning for our special needs children.
And sometimes that's where we talk about, too, that team approach. There may be a need, for example, in that planning for life insurance to provide some of the basic maybe comforts that loved one might need. They may have governmental benefits or some other source of living, but may need something else.
Well, one of the important aspects of planning for an adult child with special needs is to make sure that they do not lose their stream of government benefits. And that's where planning with permanent life insurance is an important component of funding what would be a special needs trust for that adult child. You want to make sure that there's a guaranteed source of money that will be there to take care of your child after you're gone. So you need to take care of saving for your retirement. You want to save assets and be able to distribute them out perhaps to other adult children. And the use of life insurance is a very important technique to help fund these special needs trusts. Assembling a team of financial professionals, a life insurance expert, an accountant, the financial advisor, and the estate planning attorney, including also healthcare professionals, and talking about the team approach. These are all important members of any good team.
You know, one thing I realized with special needs adults is if a family even believes they have enough resources and money that they want to, you know, provide for that special needs child, what they don't realize is there are a lot of governmental services that that adult child may need that they would not get unless they qualified for those benefits. So a lot of careful planning there, meaning, do you understand what I'm saying? There's some governmental services as far as transportation and
the best laid plans of all families can go awry by thinking that they've got it covered.
Yeah.
The government services that people can get, you know, paid for are vast, and you need an expert to help tell you what's out there with occupational vocab rehab. You have the ability to earn money and still maintain your eligibility for Social Security, supplemental income. You need to know what you can do with SSD. Folks who are on SSI get Medicaid. And if you inadvertently leave an outright inheritance to them, more than $2,000 is going to render them ineligible for medical benefits.
Mm-hmm.
And if you left a grandchild $100,000 and they have got a five-day hospital stay and you don't have it in a special needs trust, you can say goodbye to that money because it's going to have to be spent down first.
Yeah, lots of planning around that. Folks, if you have questions this evening, the phone number is 610-758-8810. We're going to take a quick break. Be back in a sec.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including income tax preparation for individuals, businesses, estates, and trusts. Tax preparation involves more than putting numbers on a return. It requires planning. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
And you are listening to WDIY Allentown, listener-supported community public radio. Lehigh Valley weather, current conditions, 57 degrees under fair skies. Tonight, cloudy, lows around 45. Thursday, chance of showers, highs around 66. And Friday, showers likely, highs around 71 degrees. Folks, the time now is 6:22 p.m. Now back to your financial choices with our host, Lori Siebert.
Thank you, Jeff. Phone number this evening, 610-758-8810. I have with me in the studio attorney Jim Ruggiero, and he is an accredited estate planner as well, just like me. I just got that. And it just means that we are concentrating in estate planning, and life care planning, as Jim has described it earlier, is part of that. We've been talking about the elder care continuum, but also life care planning, including planning for special needs adult children. Jim, as far as families affected by this, as you said, it's like one in four. How do they go about getting their arms around this, talking about this with other family members, having the conversations? Because if part of the team means I have to talk to my mother or I have to talk to my sibling to be part of that team, how does that go? What does that conversation look like?
Well, first of all, it's extremely important to just have the conversation. Many families often assume that a sibling is going to be available to take care of their adult special needs child after they're gone. That child might not live in the state. That child might have other ideas. So when we talk about life care planning, it's got to be interactive. When do you start the conversation? You put everyone in a room after you've had a meal. So you don't want anybody hungry to reduce the
Thanksgiving's
fighting.
Thanksgiving's coming up.
It would be a wonderful time. Sorry.
When they're thankful.
And to talk about the gifts that God has given them and the blessings that the family brings to each other and the importance of keeping it together. So if I'm a parent and I want to talk to my other adult children as well as my adult child with special needs about the future, it's going to be something real. That what are my goals socially, emotionally, physically, financially for this adult child? Is that child going to be able to live independently with assistance? will that child need to live in a group home? Are we going to have another family member bring that child into their home after I pass? And these are questions that need to be discussed. And we like to encourage the family to prepare a letter of intent for the future caregivers. One of the things that they can do is keep a 5-star notebook that has sections, just daily observations when you're taking care of an adult child at home so that you can pass that down.
That's a great idea.
And you can share what happened throughout the year and share what progress they've made, and so that you can know likes and dislikes, so that if you have a caregiver come in, they're not coming in blind. We want to make sure that the adult children who are going to take care of their siblings don't feel like it's going to be an economic hardship on them. So when the family has the initial meeting, it's going to be amongst themselves. But the next part of the meeting should be with the whole team, where the family gets introduced to the financial planner, the insurance specialist, the estate planning and elder law attorney, as well as perhaps the community caregiver. There might be a nonprofit organization that the family has chosen to be a backup for the adult child with special needs if family members are unavailable. And also support groups. We have a rising tide of adult children with autism in this country. And we don't have any cure, but we have many different children on the spectrum. Some will function independently. Some will need supervised care for the rest of their lives. And we're not prepared for the tsunami of adults, children with special needs, and elderly seniors that are going to have additional health care needs because the baby boomers are aging and the baby boomers' parents are aging. So with the front edge of the baby boom being in their mid-60s and the trailing edge being 49 on all their parents being 20 to 24 years older, we're just not equipped to handle what's coming.
Yeah, good point. I like the idea of the family getting together. I have an issue in my entire life about miscommunication. I don't like miscommunication. I don't like being misunderstood. And it just makes sense to me. For full disclosure, my mother always says I wear my colors on my sleeve. I'll tell anybody almost anything. And for me, it's because I feel sometimes if I have a story to share and I share it with you, you might have some information that you could provide to me. One of the things that I could see happening with a family, if they're not having these conversations, is a lot of assumptions going on. Assumptions of adult children saying, what is mom and dad going to do? Are they going to give all the money to, you know, that special needs child because they're going to need their help the rest of their lives? And then maybe they get a little angry. Maybe they're fed up with that child getting all the attention. We never know what emotions are driving someone. So what you're proposing is if people start trying to have those conversations sooner than later, they could uncover maybe some of the misconceptions or assumptions that those people were hoping to be involved in our caregiving.
We see the problems of childhood rear their ugly head in adulthood. If you didn't get along with your sibling when you were 12, you're not necessarily going to get along with them when you're 65. You're going to go back to childhood when mom and dad are talking to you. You're going to be fighting. Mommy loved you best. She chose you to be the decision maker. Why did I get left out in the cold? I'm as intelligent as you are. I love my brother as much as you do. These are family dynamic issues that need to be addressed. You might need a therapist to come in and engage in some family therapy as part of this process because you've got these long pent-up emotions that have never been brought out. And do it in person. Yeah. Don't do it via email. People really don't do a good job, I think, of expressing their feelings accurately via email, and lots of feelings get hurt. That's been an observation that keeps coming back.
You know, it's funny. I have found in my own family with 6 kids, the traditional role of the oldest child is to be like the executor or the power of attorney. And my mother had planned to do that. And I said, but mom, you know, Donald is in Philadelphia and your son Mark lives half an hour from you and does everything for you. So we talked about at least making them co-executors and then one could step down if they felt they needed to. Jim, we have a caller from Berks County asked the question. She said, or maybe it's just a comment, she's legally blind and has little access to benefits and programs that she qualifies for. She says Pennsylvania has not shown a lot of support. Now, Can you comment on that, Jim? Do you have any experience with, sorry, let me just butt in here for a second, though. We're not exactly sure what benefits or programs she might be talking about, but being legally blind, little access to benefits and programs that she thinks she qualifies for.
Well, there are people out there to be her advocate, is the first thing that I can say. Working your way through the governmental layers to find what is available can be a difficult task. So I wouldn't disagree with the caller that says she has trouble seeking support from different aspects of the Commonwealth and the services that they provide, because you don't always know where to go. And one of the big things that we see is when you have children who are in the school system and there are special needs, that the school districts do a good job of taking care of these children. But when they graduate, when they age out at 21, parents are left rudderless oftentimes, and they don't realize that they have to sign their children up for government benefits in a certain time frame.
Okay, Jim, I have to take my break. When we come back, I want to talk about if we can direct her to a resource. When we come back, we'll finish with our caller from Berks County. Back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Spread the word about your organization or business to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR news and locally produced music programs reaches thousands of locally engaged listeners each day. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable way to enhance your image and to provide information about your services to people who care. For more information, visit wdiy.org.
And we are back. If you have questions this evening, the phone number is 610-758-8810. You can talk live on air or off air, 610-758-8810. We had a caller before the break from Berks County, and she had commented that she's legally blind and had little access to benefits and programs. And Jim had, you know, said it can be frustrating. Do we have some advice for her?
I would direct the caller to first seek out the help from the Berks County Department of Aging, to call them and explain her situation and ask for a caseworker to come visit so that she can get information with regards to what the county and state have available for her. I want to make sure that she's taking advantage of the federal programs as well. And there are nonprofit organizations out there who will assist her. Most local bar associations will offer pro bono work to people that are disabled and low income that need help. And so I think if you can get a good attorney to tell you what's out there, they can help guide you through the system and get you on the path. And you need an advocate on your side. And being legally blind, I understand the difficulties that might exist. My mother is legally blind, and there are problems that come with that, and you don't always know what aids are out there with regards to just what can help you in your home as well.
Oh, very good.
So when we're talking about the issues that this caller has, we're talking about life care planning issues. The big picture that is so important in life care planning is making sure that our loved ones, whether they be adult children or elderly family members, are safe, that their future care needs are covered. And this caller's care needs are not adequately being covered right now. So this is exactly what a holistic approach is invented for, to help her in all aspects of her life that need addressing right now.
And there could be services at the county level as well as the state level you had mentioned. So that's why she could call the Berks County Department of Aging. That's one resource that could get her started. But then you had also mentioned a pro bono work by attorneys, and that would be possibly available by calling the Berks County
Bar
Association. Okay.
Yes.
So hopefully she'll get some help with people in that, finding those resources.
Most bar associations have lawyer referral services that represent adult individuals who are challenged at a reduced fee basis. So she may be eligible to get some really great advice for free.
Okay. So, caller, I thank you for calling in your comment. I hope that that helps get you in the right direction and you get some support the way you need. So, Jim, you have had a lot of experience with family members, haven't you? The grandparents in the home and now your own mother and now your aunt. So
I've had personal experience with my family. I have been called to the hospital many times when there's been a slip and fall, more than I want to care to count. I've been court-appointed legal guardian for elderly individuals who've been unable to take care of themselves. So I've been the caregiver as well as the attorney. And we've represented over 1,000 families in the last 24 years, and vast majority are estate planning and elder law issues. So we see what the practical challenges are. When you're looking at life care planning, the three principles that are extremely important to understand, what do they encompass? One is quality care for your loved one and safety, whether that's in the home, with care in the home, or in an independent or assisted living or group home. Two is selecting the proper care, knowing what is out there, what resources can be brought to bear to take care of your loved one while you're alive and after you're gone. And also how to finance that care, because all of these aspects require planning. And it's not just legal planning. As you can see, the financial planner is an extremely important person in this whole process.
Well, one thing I hear quite often, people ask, they'll say, should I transfer my house to my kids? Should I transfer all my assets out of my name because I don't want to lose them? And, you know, I have to caution people about transferring assets like a house, because there is something called the principal residence exclusion. If you sell your house at a big gain, you can exclude that gain if it's $250,000 or less for a single person, $500,000 for married, filing joint. And what we see, and that's if it's your principal residence. So what we see happen sometimes is parents will think they have to transfer their house so that they don't lose it. And they transfer it to their child who doesn't live there. It's not their principal residence. And then if the child has to go sell it, all of a sudden they have a big gain that they might not have had. So that's just a quick example of maybe folks reacting to information that they get that may not be informed or educated. So, again, working with this team. So let's talk about some of that, the components of the life care plan, but not just those components you mentioned earlier, the legal team, the financial advisor, the insurance, which is the, you know, risk management and the care management. But let's talk about, drill down to some of what that looks like. So first, because you're an attorney, what kind of documents or planning are you going to talk about with folks when they come in and say, oh, can you help me?
Certainly. Number one, knowledge is power, and a little bit of knowledge is very dangerous. So that's why you need to consult with professionals. When I'm meeting a family, I'm doing an assessment of their overall situation. And then when we talk about what are the essential legal documents that every family should have in place, we start with your last will and testament. You have to put one in place, you have to update it frequently, and you have to make sure that it works. Met a couple today. The last time they updated was over 20 years ago. And that is commonplace. When you're young and married, you'll put a will in place and then you won't revisit it until you have grandchildren. And that addresses what happens when you die. So the last will and testament is a fundamental block of any good plan. Then we have to deal with what happens if you, the caregiver, become incapacitated while you're alive. You need to have a general durable power of attorney in place so that someone else can assist and pick up the ball and take care of your loved one who is elderly and needs assistance, or take care of that adult child. Also, if we become incapacitated and we're in the hospital, the caregiver needs a living will, a limited durable power of attorney for health care, and importantly, a HIPAA release so that family members can get privately protected medical information regarding loved ones in the time of a crisis. So these are the five fundamental planning documents that every Pennsylvania resident over 18 should have.
Can I ask you a quick question? Because I just saw a documentary on the OWN channel the other night. A gay man had been in a relationship and his partner was in a serious accident and had gone to the hospital and he wasn't allowed to go in. Now we have the Defense of Marriage Act that's gone through, you know, same-sex couples, legal marriage. Can you have these documents for non-spouses? So many people think that you go into the attorney, you meet with them, and you prepare the will, the power of attorney, and it's between husband and wife, and sometimes you name a kid. Well, sometimes there's not a spouse. So what are the options for someone who's single or someone who's widowed? And that's another time to go update documents, right?
Absolutely.
When you lose a loved one. So what kind of rights can we give someone who's not our spouse? The same rights as a spouse?
We can give similar rights, but in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, we can't give the same rights. And I believe that will change in the coming months, weeks, years. And more specifically, that's when we're talking about how can one leave one's property to someone who's not a spouse, because a same-sex couple will not get the same advantage that a heterosexual couple will have that's married with regards to leaving a spouse all of their assets. In Pennsylvania, there's no inheritance tax between a husband and a wife. A same-sex couple would be subject to inheritance tax. Now, this currently is working its way through the court system to be litigated. But importantly, you talk about that documentary that you saw. We help people make sure that their trusted advisor and loved one has the power of attorney, that they're the agent for health care and the agent on the general durable power of attorney and has access under HIPAA. We put these documents together for unmarried couples, same-sex couples, and parents with college-age children. We make sure your 18-year-old child gives you the right to get their transcripts and their medical records. So we have adult children give their parents HIPAA releases.
That's a great comment, because I hear so many, and this goes back to the life care planning and all the continuum. It's not just the elder care continuum. It's the life care continuum. I'm very close with my children. I have three children, but my youngest is still 17. But I'm very close with my adult daughters. I know everything, okay? But I couldn't help my daughter get like her prescriptions.
You don't have the legal authority
because
once they're
18.
Because
I have no legal authority, right.
They are adults.
So never thought about this, but this is a great point, Jim. So if clients come into you, and if you ask, you go through the questions, in that sandwich generation, we're taking care of our adult parents, we're taking care of our kids. Part of the planning for me, someone my age, I could come in and say, Jim, yep, I've got my mother, I'm watching out for her, I've got my three kids, they're adults, and you know, I'm still involved in their lives. My daughter's in Buffalo, I'm in Pennsylvania, sometimes she needs things done. I can't do them.
Not without a power of attorney.
You could help even the 18-year-old children as part of that family plan, put in place documents that would give me permission to help with those such things.
Absolutely. When we talk about life care planning, we have to have the whole family involved. And when you're that family in the sandwich generation, when you're the decision makers for your adult parents who need help because they're elderly and still have to give guidance to your legal majority over the age of 18 children who still are going to need help from mom and dad, we've got to address the fact that it's not just taking care of up the ladder. We also have to look at down the ladder. And that also brings me to the point that the caregiver has to take care of themselves first. Because when you're the architect of the plan and you're the person providing all the care, you're going to be at risk because of all the energy it takes to take care of the two generations. You're getting crushed in the middle of the sandwich as a caregiver. So you have to make sure you make your doctor's appointments, keep you up with your physical, make sure you take your medications when you're a caregiver, and make sure that your documents are in order, not just worry about this. I always hear from every adult child that I ever met who's there to talk about mom or dad. When we're done taking care of mom and dad, we'll take care of ourselves. Then we'll talk about us. I always advise you can work on parallel tracks. It's not one, then two. It's one and 1A at the same time, to me, is the best way to address it.
Like when that that oxygen mask comes down in the airplane and the parent is supposed to kind of take their head off the oxygen.
That is a wonderful analogy, a wonderful illustration of how things should happen. Yes, you've got to put on the oxygen mask first. And I'm going to use that, Lori, for the rest of my career, and I'll give you attribution for that.
There you go.
Yes, you've got to put it on first.
You know, another good point that this has brought up, too, is It's a time to reflect when you have adult children. It's also a time for you to reflect, not only if you update your documents, your will, and that kind of thing, but do you set up your adult children maybe to be the second power of attorney or the person with the health directives? We might think they're too young to be that power of attorney, but maybe they're a responsible 23-year-old could help in healthcare decisions, especially if you have already established through your life, through your example to your children, the responsibility to family, to taking care of family and involving them and having those family conversations at Thanksgiving, writing those letter of intent. They can be involved in that process. And maybe it's a time, too, to update your documents. Don't forget about your adult children when they're 25, 26. Maybe they could be that contingent executor or successor trustee.
They can be second alternate, first alternate. And don't forget that these adult children need your advice with regards to financial planning. If you can get these adult children to start saving when they get their first job, you as a financial planner, I'm sure, are always illustrating to folks that if they save for their retirement between 20 and 30 and let that work, that'll be worth more than what they save from 40 to 60.
That's what I'm telling my son-in-law, and see if, you know, we can move with them when we're older. We're ready to take another break. Folks, we have 15 minutes left. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. 610-758-8810. Back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services including portfolio management, tax return preparation, and financial planning for the accumulation years, retirement years, and estate distribution. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
And you are listening to WDIY, Lehigh Valley's community NPR station, your source for NPR news, local public affairs programming, and an outstanding mix of hand-picked music. The folks, the time now is 6:46. Now back to our program.
Thank you, Jeff. You're listening to Your Financial Choices. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I'm a CPA, CFP, and AEP, and I have in the studio with me attorney Jim Ruggiero. He is also an accredited estate planner, so lots of good information here. Jim and I have been talking about life care planning, the elder care continuum, some of the things you need to pay attention to. We've talked about having family conversations, family meetings, letter of intent. How do we see the continued caregiving for maybe special need adult children or our aging parents? Jim talked about the quality care and safety important issues, selecting the proper care, how to finance that care, and working in a holistic team approach. Jim has lots of experience in this, coming from a family that had three generations and continues to have caregiving of family members, which is wonderful.
We're caregiving for the fourth generation currently, if you start with my great aunt and work down to my children.
Oh, great. So, Jim, we have a little bit of time left. I know that you had given me a chart as well, talking about life care planning. So with the last part of the show, let me give the phone number one more time. If people have questions, they can still get some questions in. 610-758-8810, 610-758-8810. But with the last part of the show, let's kind of bring it all together one more time, talking about this life care planning, this team approach. What messages do you want to make sure that people take out of tonight's show?
Let's talk about the good news.
Okay.
The good news is that life expectancy in the United States has risen 60% in the last century. So we do have a need for a continuum of care because we're living longer. And some of us are living healthier, not all of us, but we have
I'm working on it.
you and I both, Laura, you and I both. I'll be at the gym at 7 a.m. tomorrow to keep working on it.
Very good.
But as we are living longer, some of us are able to stay at home. Again, my 95-year-old Aunt Helen has lived independently her whole life because she's active and on the go and always been able to do so. not all of our loved ones will be able to do that. So we have to recognize this is just a fact. It's an issue. It's not going to go away. We just can't be in denial about these things, because we have to look at, again, what participants do we need in putting this life care plan together? Well, we need mom and dad, also known as grandmother and grandfather. We need their adult children. We also need to bring other grandchildren in, perhaps, to have some discussions, because you want to have the children visit their grandparents as part of just any good life care plan. It's not just about who's going to be your medical care provider. It's what's going to be a social life.
You know, can I just, sorry if I can interrupt, because my daughter just went to Chicago to go to school, and my mother is in Michigan, and Sally's very lonely. She just got married. She's there alone. Her husband's in New York, and she's gone to visit my mother twice now, and she called me on the phone this afternoon. She's like, Mommy, I love Grammy so much. She's so cute. She's so precious. And you know what I realized is it helps with the stress levels, too, because my daughter's very stressed out at school, and this, you know, gives her comfort. Grammy's giving her tea and bringing her snacks and making her nice food. And it's really beneficial for my mother and adds a lot of value to her life as well and keeps her going. She's 83. My mother's in great shape, probably because she has things like this to look forward to. So
my 12-year-old son goes and visits with his great-great Aunt Helen, and they will make cookies together. Mm-hmm. They will have a meal. He will play her piano. All these things are wonderful experiences for both of them. And it is important, because when folks move into over 55 communities or into independent living or assisted living, they lose the diversity of life that is surrounding them. It's all people in similar situations. And one of the joys of life is its variety. So we need variety in our caregiving team, because we may need a spiritual advisor as part of this team, talking about ongoing attendance at your favorite church or synagogue is important. You've imparted your family values to your loved ones, and you want to make sure those get continued. And so there are many, many aspects when we talk about life care planning that have to be looked at. To me, quality of life is important, because we've got a greater quantity of life, but we want to make sure there's quality associated with that. So we need to know that we're not going to run out of money in our retirement. When folks retire at 65, there is a 70 that are married, there's a 73% likelihood that they're going to live past 85 years of age. So that's 40 years of combined living for a married couple. That's 40 years of money needed for retirement savings. And that's just, again, one extremely important piece of the puzzle. I think you can talk best as a financial planner. We're going to see a wave of Generation Xers and Yers, and the millennials will not have pension plans.
Right.
So how are they going to pay for their long-term care costs? Forbes recently did a study that estimated that anybody who retires in 2012 at 65 will need $240,000 just to pay for health care. That's not living. That's just to pay for doctor's visits, co-pays, things like that. That's not for care in the home, moving into an independent living facility or assisted living facility. And we're all private pay for those. The government will only pay when you're in need of skilled nursing. And so that is a limited area. And families have to exhaust all of their resources if they haven't done good life care planning before they get eligibility for Medicaid. So you have to factor in that possibility when you're doing the life care planning. So that's where insurance, gifting, the creation of the right trusts are all key tools in doing life care planning from my standpoint as an estate planner. But wanting to know where mom likes to go to church, where she likes to go for her meals, or my adult child likes to go for recreation activities, where do they like to go zip lining? I mean, these are all things that go into planning.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not what you do, it's what the outcome is. We can all stay in an apartment and watch TV for the rest of our lives, but whether you're an adult or a child or someone with special needs, that's not living.
Mm-hmm.
We want everyone to have a life.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned earlier about keeping a notebook about notes, and I thought that that was really a great idea, because especially when you're dealing with maybe either special needs adults or even parents who may be losing mental capacity, they could have maybe favorite foods or favorite TV shows that they may not be able to communicate to a new caregiver. So having that as a resource is also, I think, really important as far as the quality of life.
A spiral-bound notebook can do more for the quality of life for an adult in need of life care planning than you could ever think of. That $2 purchase can be invaluable when you put in all of the information, the knowledge that gets accumulated over the years. The key to life care planning is amassing the knowledge that you need from the various experts and then implementing the plans that those experts help you put together so that you take that knowledge that's imparted to do the best thing for your individual family. Every family's different. Not every family will have the same needs or the same planning, but they all need some type of planning and care plan for the long term.
Now, when we talk about long-term care planning and long-term care insurance, do you have a rule of thumb, or maybe you don't cover this, as far as when people should start thinking about that or considering it?
I believe you should start thinking about it at 45. I think you should try to have it purchased by age 55. I find that if you wait until 65, you're going to say, no, it's too expensive. But if you lock it in place between 50 and 55, at a time where your income can afford the purchase of it, then I think it's a great tool. And you don't need a $300 a day benefit. You can use a $150 a day benefit. I say it's a great hedge to protect your portfolio. The cost of inflation for healthcare is enormous. The ongoing costs if you have a catastrophic event occur are enormous. So if it makes financial sense, then I advise everyone to put it into place.
Okay. So a little earlier than I have traditionally been thinking, but you make a good point. So I quite often say, you know, around 55, you need to start thinking about it. So even just a little bit earlier.
I looked at the quotes at 40, looked at the quotes at 45, then purchased at 46, knowing that they were only going to be even higher at 55.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a long-term purchase based on the longevity in both my wife's family and my side of the family. We've right. got family members living into their 90s and wife's grandmother to 104.
Wow.
She spent 9 years in assisted living and she spent 6 years in skilled nursing.
Wow.
And drained a lot of resources.
Right. So long-term care insurance also can be, as Jim had mentioned, you don't have to get like a $300 a day benefit, maybe a $150 a day benefit. And some people don't realize that the premiums that are charged can vary depending on what options you select. The elimination period, like how long can you go before that kicks in, or for how many years will you have it? Will you have it for 3 years, 5 years, or indefinitely? Do you put an inflation rider on the benefit? So there's lots of different ways to control that premium cost, right?
Absolutely. You look at what your income is, what your assets are, and then you can help determine what amount of insurance. I think a minimum would be a five-year term for the length of the insurance. Most people, you're not going to be able to get perpetual insurance right now. There will be a time limit. I think an inflation rider is extremely important on any policy that you purchase, because we know what the time value of money is and how inflation will reduce one's ability to pay for things down the line if they haven't kept up with it.
Okay, so long-term, and just summarizing in a few seconds because then I want to wrap up the show. So long-term care insurance could be an option for folks who are in this planning phase. It could also be for older people, but it could be a little bit more complicated, a little bit more expensive when you're older. For special needs adult children who maybe have been special needs their whole life, not an option for them. So that's where we're looking at insurance typically and managing.
For the adult children with special needs, you're going to have to put the insurance in place to help address those needs.
After you're gone.
After you're gone.
Yeah.
Without that, the programs keep getting cut. The caller is right. We have problems with our government services here in Pennsylvania due to the shortages with the revenues. We have seen decreases in the services available to the public. We've seen delays in services getting implemented. I mean, it is a real societal problem that's going to continue to grow.
Okay, Jim, thank you so much for being here. We're talking about life care planning, the importance of that holistic team approach, having family meetings, letter of intent, and bringing all the parties involved, the financial advisor, the attorney, the caregiver, the family members, the insurance agent, etc., making sure that we're taking care of our family members, providing them with a good quality of care and safety, and making sure that they're taken care of from a variety of different aspects. Jim, if people want to reach you, what's your phone number?
Thank you, Lori. My phone number in Center Valley is 484-224-3487. You can also find me on the web at www.paolilaw.com. And if you do a search for James Ruggiero, you should be able to find me in Pennsylvania under attorneys. But the
Paoli Law.com. PaoliLaw.com. Thank you so much for being here. Folks, next week we're going to have the Capital Blue Cross store highlighted. We're going to have Senior Vice President of Capital Blue, Aji Abraham, here. We're going to talk about the Capital Blue store and the highlights of the Affordable Care Act. I love the Capital Blue store. If you haven't been out there to visit, it's great. It's at the Promenade Shops. Thank you, listeners. Thank you, Jeff. Thank you, Jim. Stay tuned for In the Tradition Folk Music with Tom Druckenmiller. Remember, pay attention, be proactive, not reactive. Make the best of your financial choices. Have a great week.